Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line David Geyer, who's, of course, is working towards his PhD. And then we have Dr. Mark Geyer, who is a medical doctor and has a PhD. And we're going to be talking about what's happening as far as thimerosal and its impact and its influence on the autism epidemic. Dr. Geyer, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And David, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, I was just finished reading the book Evidence of Harm by David Kirby, and he goes, of course, into the background of this whole controversy over thimerosal. And it would appear that the Centers for Disease Control did everything they could to prevent you from finding out what their database showed. Did you have that feeling?
I think they not only have done that, I think they continue to do that, and they have plans to continue to do that as far into the future as possible. And the amazing thing is that the group that originally did this has been fired. The National Immunization Program of the CDC has been fired. But even before they left, they arranged it in such a way that the data couldn't be seen even though they weren't there.
Well, now, what about Dr. Geberding? Isn't there anything she can do? She's in charge there. I mean, she can't, you know, get that information for you?
I think she can. But what they did is they gave that database from the year 2000 to the present. They made a contract. And the contract is with a private group so that it's not within the government. So theoretically, no government employee can order it. And the contract they made, this is unbelievable, but we actually have the contract, pays $195 million to a private corporation, and the deal is that they don't get their money if they let anybody see it. Can you imagine? That's our money, the people's money, $195 million, to hide a database that if the private company lets anybody see it, they lose the money.
Well, I think the most important thing to realize is that somebody is putting up an awful lot of money to conceal the truth from the American people. And that is that a thimerosal is a deadly form of mercury. It has an impact. And somebody knows this and is doing everything they can to keep the truth from coming out. I mean, could you imagine the response of the American people if they realized that certainly one in six American children has been poisoned, has basically a neurodevelopmental abnormality or some sort of a learning abnormality? I mean, these are frightening figures.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened in the country. Fortunately, all sorts of things are now happening that are helping to make this come out. One of them is that Robert Kennedy Jr. has written a major article in Rolling Stone. And another one is Senator Lieberman has now appeared on television, has been going around supporting the idea that they're trying to hide this. So we have two new powerful allies. Additionally, there are now six states that have passed bans on thimerosal and their vaccines.
And I think this is one of the most incredible stories in the world, and I do hope that we can cover a lot of the background of this here during this next hour. But if you get into the understanding that thimerosal was found 40 years ago to be so toxic you couldn't put it on the skin, and they withdrew it from being applied to the skin, it was methylate. But, of course, it was allowed to be injected into our children in levels up to 50 to 80, 85 times the maximum amount allowed by the EPA. We're going to be back here to bring you this incredible story here in just a moment with Dr. Mark and David Geyer. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And, of course, with us this afternoon, Dr. Mark Geyer, David Geyer, and they are, of course, scientists. They're working to try to bring out the truth about the fact that they have poisoned literally millions of American children. And they've done this with thimerosal, and the scientific studies that they have been able to come up with. In fact, they even were at one time allowed to see the data bank. What did you find when you finally got into the data bank? This was several years ago, under the assistance of Congressman Weldon and with the help of Congressman Dan Burton. And you were to be allowed to see the data bank that would confirm or deny and give you the scientific basis for knowing whether thimerosal was responsible for the epidemic of autism. What happened? Would you like to describe that? That's the most incredible story.
Well, what happened was that when we went in, we went into a building that has armed guards at the door. They searched us, and we got in, and we had technical monitors from the CDC who looked at every single keystroke we made in the VSD, Vaccine Safety Data Link database, and they looked to see at everything we were doing. And as it turns out, the first time we went in, after they put on this whole charade of how much security there was, and they weren't going to help us, the monitor, when the door closed, decided, she said that she had an affected child and she was going to help us see what we needed to see before we left. And over the course of 2 days, working with her, because the CDC had given us such a poor way of being able to see the database, we were actually able to do studies on thimerosal, calculating the amount of mercury children got from their thimerosal-containing vaccines, and we found that the more mercury the children got from the shots, the more risk they had. And this confirmed exactly what we were seeing in our public databases that we had been publishing on for several years. And the moment we released this information in public, which was back in 2004 at the Institute of Medicine hearing, within several days of that, CDC immediately shut the door to us being able to look at more data in the Vaccine Safety Data Link. And we've been battling now for over a year and a half to get back in to see that data again. It overwhelmingly supports the notion that thimerosal is causing autism and neurodevelopment.
Hold that thought right there for a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Mark Geyer and David Geyer, who, of course, been leading the effort to try to get into the government database. Now, this is public information. But you see, there are a lot of people, in my estimation, within the CDC who have a vested interest in concealing the fact that we poisoned almost a generation of our children with vaccines that contained a mercury poison. And would you like to get into the background? What do we know? Aren't there a lot of scientific studies on what thimerosal does to animals?
There are a tremendous number of studies on the dangers of thimerosal. And you see people from the CDC saying that there are virtually no studies. And this is something that any parent, any person that's interested can confirm. You nearly have to go on the web and go to PubMed, which is the NIH's Medline search, and type in the word thimerosal. I did it the other day. I got over 1,000 articles popped up immediately. I then typed in methylate, which is another name for thimerosal. I got 900 and some. In fact, if you're good at it, you can get 5,000 articles all the way back to the 60s in that database saying that thimerosal is harmful, it should be not in the vaccine. You can get it in any journal you want. You can get it by any specialty you want. You can get dermatologists who've said it. You can get cell biologists. You can get molecular biologists. You can get pediatricians. And the reason it only goes back to 1967 is that's what the database goes back to. If you want to go beyond that, you go to the Library of Medicine personally, which we've done. In that case, you can find way more articles that go all the way back into the 1930s. This substance should never have been in a single human vaccine. It should never have been in a single human medicine. In fact, it shouldn't be medicines that are given to animals, and in fact, it's been removed from most of the animal medicines. This is a catastrophe that has been ongoing for some time, that has gotten much worse in 1991 when we tripled the number of vaccines that are given. And by the way, as I always point out, we're strongly pro-vaccine, but we're not in favor of vaccines containing neurotoxic materials like mercury.
And now, of course, my understanding is that many of the European countries have taken out the thimerosal to protect their children. They don't want to poison their children. Isn't that true, that a lot of the European countries have removed the thimerosal?
Thimerosal has been banned in England. Last August, it was announced by the BBC that they're removing it because they think it causes autism. It's been banned in Canada, in Sweden, in Russia, in Denmark, in Japan, and most annoyingly in France. And the reason it's particularly annoying in France is that one of the main sources of thimerosal that is still in children's vaccines is the influenza vaccine. The influenza vaccine last year was made by Adventist Pasteur of France. And the influenza vaccine they sent to our country is illegal in their own country. So they're dumping vaccine that they were not allowed to use on their own children, on our children. And I don't take very well to that.
But I understand, of course, that our CDC and our World Health Organization are still giving this to the children throughout the rest of the world in third world countries. Is that right?
Absolutely.
In other words,
in all the vaccines.
It's in all the vaccines. In other words, they haven't taken it out of the childhood vaccines. So do we know that they've really taken it out? Can we really believe anything they tell us? Has anybody checked to see if there is any thimerosal in the vaccines now that they say that it's been removed?
Well, remember, what they say is tricky. They use very trick words. We actually have run some tests, and it appears, at least in the limited testing that we've done, that the ones that say they only have trace actually only have trace. But it's very tricky what they say. They say they've taken it out of the childhood vaccines, except for the ones they haven't taken it out of. So last fall, they began to recommend and require that all children receive influenza vaccines three times in the first 18 months of life. Those vaccines have full amounts of thimerosal, almost 100% of them. And then there's DT vaccine that is given as a booster, a TD vaccine, and a whole bunch of others. So the answer is that of the really routine ones, under 6 months, I think they've removed quite a bit of it. And in fact, it's important that they did that because we would predict, since we know that it caused the autism epidemic, that as they did that, there would be a decline in the rate of new cases of autism. And we have a paper under consideration now for publication, which shows exactly that. In the public database, when they started removing the thimerosal, the rates of autism began to go down, and we've confirmed that in the California database. So they have removed some in the United States. In third world, they haven't removed any. And in the United States, they're still giving some. And they won't even give us the satisfaction of making a rule that they'll never add it back in to the ones that they've removed it from. So it's out on some of them today. It'll be back in tomorrow. And the U.S. Congress has found them guilty of institutional malfeasance. And to demonstrate how malfeasant they are, now the states are having to ban it. The first state was Iowa, followed by California. Now Missouri, the governor has signed it. It's also passed in New York State, and also in Illinois, and also in Delaware. Those three are still waiting governor's signature. In fact, Delaware just passed a few days ago. We were there at the hearing.
In other words, that is to ban all thimerosal in all vaccines. Is that right?
Yes. Each state has a different, you know, date where it becomes eliminated, but it bans thimerosal in all those states, and there's going to be more. As Kennedy wrote, he thinks there are 31 states. It's hard to even keep track of them that are currently considering. There's also a U.S. bill to ban it in the whole country, which was introduced by Dr. Weldon in the House of Representatives. It has 43 co-sponsors. This is something that the CDC just isn't going to be able to stop us from getting rid of the mercury, unfortunately. They actually recommended and said they would remove it in 1999. Unfortunately, it's 2005 and they still haven't completed removing it from the United States, and they've made no attempt to remove it from the third world countries.
In other words, they're still poisoning the children throughout the world, and they say, well, but nobody would want to hurt children. And I say, that is falderal. There are people who have no compassion at all for children, and I think that's what's so difficult for people to believe. I've been to the CDC. I've talked to some of these people there many years ago dealing with the AIDS epidemic. And it was quite obvious at that time they had no intention of doing what was right to save human lives. 500,000 Americans have died and another over well over a million now are infected and going to die, a direct result of policies at the CDC, and nobody is ever held responsible. What happened to the people in the vaccine division that were relieved of their position? Weren't they allowed to continue working for the CDC?
Yeah, they were just reassigned. Unfortunately, they were reassigned, and they're no longer in charge of vaccine safety, but that doesn't even stop them from going out to the news media and telling everybody how safe what they've done is, and to smear us and the scientists that have come out on our side, which are rather now impressive. In the last few weeks, there have been three NIH studies supporting the view that thimerosal is terrible for children. One of them out of University of Washington, in which they injected monkeys with the thimerosal just like they do the children, and they studied that it went into the brain, and it went into the brain and stayed there after 125 days. They couldn't even find it going down the slightest bit. Once it goes in the brain, it stays in the brain.
And so they know that. They just want the public to know that, because I certainly haven't heard that mentioned at all. Now, there was an Institute of Medicine meeting that was financed by the CDC, supposedly impartial, wasn't impartial at all, and they came out and they said, gee, we ought to even stop looking to find out if there's any relation of toxicity. I mean, there's an epidemic of autism. We don't know what it is, but don't look at thimerosal any longer. And one of the studies there apparently came from England, and they said that they'd gone through their database and they'd compared the children who got the thimerosal and the children who didn't, and actually thimerosal protected the children. Do you think that figures could be incorrect, or do you think that maybe they were just simply manipulated to give that impression?
Well, you know, it's more than that. They're not only manipulated, but they tell you about a 2004 IOM report. There's actually a 2005 IOM report as well. The 2005 IOM report concluded that the 2004 IOM relied on data from the CDC, which they manipulated and withheld, and it was strongly criticized as being unreliable. And in fact, it was that report that caused them to be fired one day after it came out. But they just try to tell the public that there was only a 2004 report, and they don't tell them that report has been basically completely removed by the 2005 report, which found them to be hiding the data, which is not hard to figure out after you've seen what's happened to us. You know, when we went to see that secret database, we were sponsored by Dr. Weldon, who's on the Government Reform Committee, who has oversight over this.
Now for our listeners out there, David Weldon is a physician. He's been in Congress for, 10, 12 years now?
Yeah, from Florida. And he was so upset that he said, if you won't show it to David and Mark Geyer, I'll come down there, and we'll look at it together. And you know what they told him? He would be stopped at the door by armed guards. And just to make it worse, now Senator Lieberman, who's one of the most respected senators in the world, has been told basically that there's nothing he can do about it. They're not going to show it to him or anybody else.
In other words, they collected with government money, and they're going to keep it a secret so they can continue poisoning the children throughout the world. You wonder how this could really be going on. You know, as I read, and of course, read the history of what's happening, and read the book, and if you're out there in the listening audience, you haven't read David Kirby's Evidence of Harm, you need to get it, and you need to read it. And you need to understand that Mark and David Geyer have been on the front lines of this battle, trying to protect children. And there really are people out there who are, they say, oh, we wouldn't hurt any children, and yet they've consistently concealed the evidence, and a strong evidence, that there's a strong relationship between thimerosal and the vaccine, and of course, autism. And what did you actually find when you went through that database? You found the more thimerosal, the more autism. What were your findings?
Dave, that's exactly right. What we did was we made a model to evaluate the amount of mercury the children got and to evaluate their outcomes. And we've actually now published the results, some of the results of our findings, in an article that came out in the Medical Science Monitor. And what we did in that article was to show this confirmation between public databases and the private secret database.
And what did you find out? I mean, something like a 27 times increase in autism, was it? So what was that figure?
The relative risk is enormous. Yeah, more than tenfold higher among those getting higher doses of thimerosal.
And yet, of course, they've done everything to conceal this from the American people. as more and more children, of course, have come down with this terrible disease. And now, of course, now that they're taking it out, the incidence of autism is actually falling here in California. But you're not reading about that in the media. I wonder why. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon on the line is Dr. Mark and Dr. David, Dr. Mark Geyer and his son David, and they're both working on this issue together to try to get the truth out about the fact that thimerosal has poisoned literally tens of thousands of American children, and not only the autism, but of course we have the children that have the attention deficit disorder and attention attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and reading disorders and speaking disorders and so many disorders. And isn't this really an epidemic of damage to the minds of our children?
The greatest epidemic in history. It's an epidemic whose estimated damage to the United States by the U.S. Congress exceeds $20 trillion. That's with the T dollars. That makes this epidemic worse than anything that has ever happened. It's worse than the AIDS epidemic. It's worse than 9-1-1. And in fact, it's worse than World War I and World War II. There's no way that so many people were damaged. And this is a real threat. I mean, it's very sad for the parents and the families of the children, but it's also a threat to the whole United States of America. These children don't die. They grow up. And we are compassionate people. We're going to take care of these kids. And we're going to spend the rest of our lives taking care of these kids if we don't get some treatment, which is another reason why I'm very unhappy with what CDC is doing. Not only does their cover-up try to protect their own malfeasance, but their cover-up prevents children from getting some help. If you deny that these children are mercury toxic, which is silly because you can do a laboratory test at any certified lab and show that they're mercury toxic, then the treatment is going to be psychology. And these kids, asking them why they hate their mother isn't going to work. First of all, 60% of them can't even talk. But what needs to happen is there needs to be an admission that these kids don't have autism. They have mercury toxicity or mercury poisoning. And when you realize that, there are a number of potential treatments that can be done. And we started doing some on small numbers, but obviously, and we've had some rather remarkable success, but obviously, since there are probably over a million affected children and that are heavily affected and millions more that are less affected, obviously, without any grant support, we're going to be able to do a handful. And, of course, there's not going to be grant support coming from the government when the government is trying to cover up what they've done.
Well, and now, of course, have you met with Dr. Judy Geberding?
I haven't met her personally, but she still maintains that there's no cover-up, but she will not open the database either. And also she goes around spreading the word, and the word basically is the CDC really is a salesman for vaccine companies. And again, I'm pro-vaccine, but you know, she goes around saying that 36,000 Americans die of influenza every year. The truth is 1,200. The way they got 36,000 is they took the number of deaths in the summer, they took the number of deaths in the winter, they take the difference, and they call it influenza. Now, this was incidentally attacked by the NIH, who's shown that the influenza vaccine does not prevent deaths in the older population, which is where it was supposed to prevent deaths. There's also two studies that show that it doesn't prevent deaths in the younger population, and we're in the middle of our study, which shows that it doesn't prevent deaths in any population. So, I mean, just going around and just selling things that aren't true. I mean, I wish it were true. I wish that we could prevent influenza. The vaccine does, unfortunately, the influenza vaccine doesn't work. And all the CDC is doing, they don't license vaccines. They're not really a research organization. Primarily what they do is they go around and they're the sales arm of the drug company. And they will tell any lies necessary. And in fact, when you catch them in a lie, as they've been caught repeatedly, they simply say, we're lying for your own good. You may realize that recently the CDC was caught in a lie about how much the obesity epidemic was hurting us. They said 350,000 deaths a year. A recent study came out with 21,000. They said, oops, we just wanted to emphasize, you know, make you lose weight. And now a more recent study has shown that those who are obese and actually lose weight may actually do worse than those who are obese and not lose weight. This business of their going around making up statistics for our own good and lying for our own good is really not what we need from our government agencies.
That's the old adage, that figures don't lie, but the liars can certainly figure. And now, of course, one of the things I'd like to know is how was it that you were able to get another meeting of the Institute on Medicine to deal with this? Because, of course, the one that came up in 2004 was supposed to be the definitive one, and they said, do not do any more studies on thimerosal. You know, we've definitely ruled it out. As far as autism is concerned, they specifically did not mention any of the other neurodevelopmental abnormalities. So how did you get another investigation?
They did it. They shot themselves in the foot. They wanted one more institute to say, they thought that this institute would say that the database, that secret should stay secret, and they have every right to lie about it, and that their intermediate data that we've been putting out to show that they agreed with us should be secret. And they put together another panel, and this time they put on a panel of people that were halfway reasonable, and people came to the opposite conclusion.
And so now we haven't heard anything at all about that out here. How can we get copies of that?
Dave, you know the website?
You can view that on the IOM website.
All right, fine. We'll talk to you a little later. We want to have that information available for our listeners.
You to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest this afternoon is Dr. Mark Geyer and his son David Geyer, and they are really on the front lines of this effort to definitely show the relationship between the thimerosal in the vaccines and, of course, the epidemic of neurodevelopmental abnormalities in our children. And although it's been taken out in most of Europe, and it's been taken out of most childhood vaccines here in the United States, they've left it in the influenza vaccine for both the elderly, and there, of course, we have other studies that show a marked increase in autism related to those, a marked increase in Alzheimer's disease. And if you'd like the documentation on that, we'll get it for you. We're talking about 1,000% increase if you take 3 or 4 of your influenza shots, according to one researcher. And then, of course, with the children, from 6 months of age on, they are telling you if you love your child, you're going to give them these influenza shots, knowing full well that it has toxic doses, a tremendous amount. And, of course, this is a cumulative effect on this. Now, Either Mark or David, my understanding is that there are certainly studies that they have tried to say, oh, you know, the mercury doesn't get in. The ethylmercury is not toxic like the methylmercury. Oh, we're so concerned about the fish, but it's all right to have ethylmercury. What's the background to that?
Well, I think that the other side is really desperate to try to pretend in some way that the mercury in vaccines is not mercury. They want you to say it's special mercury is completely non-toxic. Well, the most basic thing to think of is mercury is mercury is mercury. It doesn't matter whether it has ethyl, methyl. All mercury of all types is incredibly toxic and shouldn't be used in any human product. That said, there now have been some extensive studies into the ethyl mercury contained in thimerosal. Thimerosal, just so we're clear, contains 50% mercury by weight. And what the new studies that have been done, my father briefly mentioned this before, are out of the University of Washington and were funded by the NIH. What they did was they injected monkeys with thimerosal, mimicking the U.S. childhood vaccine schedule. And what personally was so troubling to me was that first you had a lot of mercury getting into the brain, which is terrible. And then even worse than that, a substantial portion of the mercury never got out. The authors were able to follow up the monkeys for 120 days to look to see if they could still detect mercury. And what they showed was that the inorganic mercury part, which was about 50% of the total mercury in the brain of the monkeys injected with the thimerosal, never decreased at all during that 120-day period. And what's so horrifying about this is that, so you have children that are autistic that clearly have mercury in their brains, but even the children that go on to be what we're quote calling normal now still have this mercury in their brains. We have a whole generation of Americans that are coming up with large amounts of mercury in their brain. It's almost like they started life at age 50 or 60, where people get mercury exposure from fish and from dental amalgams that slowly builds up in the brain. These children have all that mercury in their brains to start with, and now they're going to go and get their life doses. It's very scary for what the future of neurological disorders holds in this coming generation.
And for the future of the survival of America.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, when you read the articles that come out in Time magazine and Newsweek magazine and U.S. News and World Report and the New York Times, they always play down this idea that there could be any relationship between thimerosal and, of course, autism and the neurodevelopmental abnormalities. And they stress over and over again, don't get your child treated. What are they thinking about? Because, I mean, I've read the reports from many of the people who are treating autistic children, and they've been dramatically improved.
I think they have dramatically been improved, and what I think what's so scary is that you can demonstrate so easily how toxic these children are. Toxicologists, classically, if you have somebody that you suspect is suffering from heavy metal poisoning, what they do is that you go in and they do something called a DMSA challenge test. DMSA is an FDA-approved drug that chelates, meaning it binds up heavy metals in the body. And then they go collect the urine after several days of this treatment. And what you see in these autistics in a very large percentage is when you do that treatment, the mercury that comes out in the urine will run off the page. And actually, you extrapolate out, it's, you know, several rooms down. It's so much mercury in these children that comes out. And when you see that, if it happened in an adult who is working in a gold mine and maybe exposed to mercury or in some other setting where it might be lead or cadmium, if you saw that happen, they would say that person is heavy metal poison. And I think they're desperate, the other side is desperate not to have people identify autistic children as mercury poison children.
Because think of the implications. Think of the lawsuits that could be brought against Eli Lilly, which has known all along just how toxic this was, because they have studies going back many years to show how toxic it is, don't they?
Well, the original study that Eli Lilly did, there's only been one. Again, many people in the public health community are trying to say, well, now there must be hundreds of studies, we just can't find them. There was only one clinical study ever done with thimerosal, and it was done in 1929 on 22 people who had bacterial meningitis. and they gave them enormous doses of thimerosal.
And they all died, didn't they?
And they all died within a couple weeks of exposure. So. And actually, most of the people died within one day following the treatment.
Now, why in the heaven's name would they do that?
What they were thinking about was they were trying to use the thimerosal and the mercury in it as a therapeutic to kill off the bacteria that was causing the meningitis in these people. And what they found, and this is what people ever since that time have found, that thimerosal does not kill bacteria with any efficiency. It's very, very poor killing bacteria. And these people died either, could have died, I believe that some of them probably died of acute mercury poisoning, but if you believe the authors, they said they simply died of bacterial meningitis. And so this, while it showed that thimerosal wasn't very effective as a therapeutic agent, Eli Lilly was able to conclude, well, the authors say they died of bacterial meningitis, so the thimerosal has a very low order of toxicity for humans. And that's actually exactly what Eli Lilly did.
But basically, they all died. I would think that would be considered that some of them might have survived, you know, if they hadn't had the mercury. I mean, how could you come to that sort of a conclusion unless, you know, because it's not scientific. It's based upon opinion.
I don't think, to a certain extent, I'll be kind to them. I think that some of them didn't understand fully what mercury poisoning was. And so the researchers who did this study, it was not actually Eli Lilly, it was another group headed by Smithburn. They didn't dissect the bodies, they didn't try to look for mercury in the organs. So they didn't, I'm not even sure they had a really good idea of mercury poisoning. Even though I'm sure that's what we would have done, we would do to those people, and we found their bodies were full of mercury, and that they probably died of that. But Eli Lilly twisted around those conclusions, or those findings, and reached the conclusion in their study where they quoted that, see, we injected all these people with thimerosal, and it wasn't toxic for them.
In other words, they all died, but they died of bacterial meningitis. That is the most flawed reasoning I've ever heard. Has this been brought at any of the meetings that you've attended?
The people who study thimerosal, unfortunately at CDC and FDA, are not really scientists. There's something we've learned that there are really two groups of people. There are people that do research science and that understand what science is, and by and large, the people at the CDC aren't those kind of scientists. What they are is public health officials, meaning that they don't do science, they don't really understand science. What they do is they communicate to the general population about what is in the interest of public health. And they view in the interest of public health, it doesn't matter what evidence there is about thimerosal and how dangerous it is. Public health concerns say that we must vaccinate children regardless of any potential risks from thimerosal because the vaccines have a demonstrated public health benefit, and that the risks from thimerosal represent, from this other field, the genuine research scientists, a theoretical risk.
Well, now, you were saying during the first half hour that the CDC had signed a contract with a company for over $100 million, and they would only get that if they concealed the information from the people, from the public, who actually paid to gather the information and are paying for the $100-some-odd million. That is the most incredible thing I've ever heard. Aren't people in Congress or the Senate unhappy about this? It seems like sort of a waste of money to pay people to conceal information.
Yeah, irate, and there are a number of investigations beginning, and some of them may become criminal.
Well, I think that this really is criminal activity. There is no other explanation for it, and consistently being covered up, and especially by Dr. Geberding, who is in charge of the CDC. You know, she is just not being honest.
None of them are being honest, and it's interesting. Their side says there's no controversy because all the scientists agree with them. In reality, none of the scientists agree with them. The only people that agree with them are the public health service officers who've been told they haven't done any studies. In reality, there is no scientific controversy. That is, the CDC themselves, from their own documents, and we have thousands of them, and you've seen a few of them, just a handful of them in evidence of harm, and you'll see a few more if you read Kennedy's piece in Rolling Stones. But it's very clear from their own emails, their own
the manuscripts, their own meeting, records of their own meetings, they know exactly what we know. And as a matter of fact, they have more access to the data than we do. They have just made a decision that they're not going to tell people because they feel that if they tell people that there was problems in the vaccines, I guess they think that the people won't take the vaccines.
But
and I feel the opposite. I think that if you lie about it enough, it's going to get out, and people are not going to take the vaccines because they don't trust those who are in charge of the vaccine. But there is no controversy. It's obvious that both sides know what happened, and they simply are going to deny it. And, you know, each time a new scientific group publishes an article, often they call us and they say, Dr. Geyer, you know, we're glad you worked hard on this, but wait till they read our article. We'll convince them. And I tell them, you're not going to convince them. You know why? There's one group of people you can't convince, and that's somebody who already knows.
And I think that's really what's so frightening is the fact that nobody is punished for destroying a whole generation of our children.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. It's absolutely amazing. And they violated U.S. law everywhere. They hold illegal secret meetings. They hide databases. They pay off. That 2004 IOM, specifically the law says that they can't have anybody on that IOM that has taken any money from either NIH or from CDC since it was sponsored by NIH and CDC. And, you know, almost all the people did. And, you know, they held this secret meeting at Simpsonwood, Georgia, where they met with industry, and that's against the Sunshine Laws. And it just seems that they can do anything. They can violate the law as much as they want because no one is going to enforce the law.
And I think that's really what's so tragic is that, and I'm a lifelong Republican, but I find that the Republicans are not doing anything at all to uphold the laws, and at least we've got Lieberman out there who's doing what's right.
Well, it's an interesting thing because I happen to be a Democrat, but the people that are doing this don't belong to a particular party. You'll notice that Weldon and Burton, who are, you know, conservative Republicans, are strongly supportive of getting this out and getting the truth out. But then you see Lieberman, and then you see Kennedy, and then you look at the states, and some Republican states have passed the ban, some Democratic states have passed the ban. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue. This is not a conservative or liberal issue. This is an issue of we all love our children, and the question is it more important that you cover for and take money from the drug companies and cover for what happened, or do you care more about the kids? And I don't blame any one side. I think it's clearly not a political issue. It's clearly a moral issue and a scientific cover-up issue.
And, of course, the real expert from the CDC, who actually had the evidence that thimerosal was dangerous, was hired by one of the largest vaccine manufacturers in the country, Glaxo. Why would they, of all the people in the entire world, why would they want to hire away from the CDC the man who knew what was the truth was?
Keep it from coming out. And even today, people like Neil Halsey from Johns Hopkins still try to cover this up, although when giving an interview to the New York Times, admitted that he knew that it was happened and he was sorry. In effect, he's seen crying about it. But he still takes part in covering it up to this day.
He knows what's going on. He knows they're harming the children, and he's concealing the information?
Yeah, and actually, in a way, he was half a hero. We have documents where he argued that it should be released, that we should tell everybody, that we should fix it, but he lost the argument. The difference between the people on their side and us is they found the same thing we did. They said the same thing we did, except we weren't informed that this was all supposed to be a secret. So we thought this was an honest world, and so when we found out, we told people. And that's why they're very angry at us for saying exactly what they said, but they keep it a secret and we tell the truth.
And I think this is really so incredible, and of course the information's up on websites. Do you have a website? How can the listeners out there get more information of what we're talking about, the destruction of the minds of a whole generation of America's children? Where is the information available?
We don't keep a website, but there are several websites. There are actually hundreds of websites, but a good place to start would be nomercury.org.
Nomercury.org, and that's put out by the Clarks. They have an autistic son. They care.
And they have, at the back of that website, they have about 100 other websites that you can, you know, click onto.
And ladies and gentlemen, you can find out if this is really true, and if it's true, then you have to understand that there are people out there who are concealing the truth. And if you read these articles in the New York Times and the major media, they're all saying, oh, if you have an autistic child, don't get it treated. But you've actually had dramatic improvement in some of the children you've treated using, of course, the testosterone and blockers and the mercury. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, in addition to causing problems with our children's brains, they've also caused problems sexually. There's a quiet epidemic among the autistics that they have precocious puberty. These little poor little kids at age, you know, 6, 7, 8 are masturbating. They're developing body hair. They're having precocious puberty. And in fact, there's a study out of the NIH that shows that since we've been giving mercury, we've actually lowered the average age of puberty in the United States, but not in the countries that didn't use mercury. So this is going on, and these kids have high levels of testosterone. And we have found that if you lower the levels of testosterone, you can get rid of the mercury much better by chelation, because otherwise the mercury binds to the testosterone and it won't be released. And all of this is highly published stuff. That is, that the binding was pictures of how it binds was published in the 60s. It's X-ray crystallography. The literature is all there to support this. And we've now treated about 6 kids who have had remarkable recovery. And I don't know if we're the only technique in town, but these types of techniques are helping the kids. And the mainline physicians, and I'm a mainline physician, always have been, from Johns Hopkins and NIH, the treatment that they do, which is to pretend that there's nothing biochemically wrong with these kids, is absolutely not helpful.
And, of course, what it means is the child is not going to be treated, and the longer you wait, the harder it is to treat them, or maybe it'll become impossible. Mark and David Geyer, thank you so very much for being with us. God bless you for everything you're doing, and just hang in there. You're right, they're wrong, and the truth eventually will come out.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for supporting and getting the truth out, because it's only through radio shows like yours that the truth can get out. They don't control the entire world.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been the secret societies. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the 4-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and this is really one of the most incredible stories you'll ever hope to uncover. When you find out there's been an organized, orchestrated effort to keep these children who could be treated from being treated, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they haven't just done this with the mercury, we know that the original polio vaccine, the original batches of it had live poliovirus, and they knew it, and they gave it, and hundreds of people came down with polio because of the polio vaccine, and then of course they had a cancer virus in there, and tens of thousands of people have cancer today because of that. And if you haven't read the book, The Virus and the Vaccine, it goes into the background of the SV40, and they've known this all along, but they can't let the American people know the truth. And then they changed the type of monkey that they were going to use. Originally, they were using a rhesus monkey that carried the simian virus 40, and so then they started using the green monkey. And they gave a whole generation of our people all of those monkey viruses, because, you see, they were growing the virus in a culture of the kidneys of monkeys. And so we got all of the monkey viruses, and they're happily growing in literally all of us. And I know I had a very prominent congressman who read one of my newsletters. His wife had just died of mesothelioma, which you see only with people who work in asbestos, and people, of course, who got the monkey virus. So if you'd like to get more information on that, the book is The Virus and the Vaccine. And then, of course, we can point out that if you take the hepatitis B vaccine now, if you're a nurse, your chances of getting multiple sclerosis triples. They know that. They just want you to know. They've used this to sterilize women throughout the world in undeveloped countries because there are too many children, and they put chorioglottatropin into the vaccines, and then Well, there's so much more. We'll talk about that perhaps another time. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and let me just comment, if you'd like to learn more about what we've been talking about with Dr. Geyer, why we have two four-tape sets on Mercury. You need to get the information, you need to listen to it, you need to understand that we have people in government who are intentionally harming children. They say, why nobody would want to harm children, and I would say, they are people who want to harm children. There are people who actually are responsible for the murder of 50 million children in their mother's wombs, scraping them out here. There are people who want to kill partially born children, and that's why, of course, they have done everything they could to perpetuate partial birth abortion, and why when the Congress went ahead and voted to outlaw it, why, of course, they just forgot to put the rider on so the courts couldn't intervene, and now partial birth abortion continues. There really are people who want to hurt children. They know what these statistics are. That's why they're giving it to children all throughout the world, and the vaccines that we're giving to children throughout the world still contain the mercury. Now, of course, they've taken it out in most of the European countries because they know how much damage it's doing to the brains of the children. They've taken it out in England, and they've taken it out in Denmark, and they've taken it out in the Scandinavian countries. They want to protect their population. It is just that the people in Washington, D.C. have no intention of protecting your children. And if you're going to believe what your doctor tells you, he doesn't know because he's never heard the things we're talking about. We have a wonderful book. It's called Evidence of Harm. It's written by David Kirby. I just finished it this last weekend. I've read part of it before, but this is one of the most infuriating books when you realize what the Geyers have been through, because it talks about their battle and how the people of the CDC have consistently lied. They had all the statistics. They knew it was destroying the minds of our children. Evidence of Harm by David Kirby. It's available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. There are treatments that work and work very effectively, and the government's doing everything they can to keep these helpless children, these damaged children, from being treated. We have a four-tape set on autism. We have a four-tape set on Lyme disease because it's the same story. Almost 1 million Americans have Lyme disease, and they're doing everything they can to block effective treatments for that. Almost 2 million Americans have chronic fatigue syndrome and or fibromyalgia, and they're doing everything they can to block effective treatments for that. America is under attack today. Then we have a great video. It's called Without Informed Consent. Without Informed Consent. Excellent information going into the background of the mercury toxicity. We have four tape sets on mercury toxicity. And, of course, if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, you'll get the information you need to have to understand what's really going on. And the same thing carries over to the use of aspartame and of course, MSG, which are neurotoxic and create mental problems and create mental defects in our children. The same thing with the fluoride that they're putting in the drinking water. And you can get, of course, my talk on fluoride toxicity along with a syllabus we put together called The Hidden Agenda. And there is a hidden agenda, ladies and gentlemen. All of this information is available. You need to find out if it's true. And then you need to educate your doctor and educate others. Who would want to hurt children? They've killed 50 million American children since Roe versus Wade in 1973. They've killed 50 million American children. And, of course, they're still, of course, continuing to kill them with partial birth abortion. They know exactly what they're doing. They're people who have a different worldview than you and I do. And, unfortunately, many of them are working at the highest levels of our government today. Get the information and then join us in this epic struggle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And we hope that many of you will join Radio Liberty, become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, as we reach out across America 5 hours every day, trying to get the information out you're not going to get elsewhere. Pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.